Captain Kennedy. It was exactly as he'd wanted it to be. Just 2 weeks before his 80th year, he wanted to go no further. Those last few days he had sat in his leather chair, a calm haze of morphine dulling both his mind and the stabbing pain of the cancer that was ravaging his insides. He stared out the window as the last of fall's leaves fell. This was the final autumn of his life. Thomas Stansfield's rise to the top of the Central Intelligence Agency was the stuff that legends were made of. Born near the town of Stoneville, South Dakota, in 1920, he came of age during two of his country's most difficult decades. The carefree days of his youth had been squelched by dry, hot summers and apocalyptic dust storms that rose up from the southern plains and turned day into night. The Great Depression had taken its toll on the Stansfield family. One of his brothers, an uncle, and several cousins had been lost, along with two of the four grandparents. Stansfield's parents had met in their teens, both fresh off the cattle cars that had sprinkled countless European immigrants across America in the years that followed World War I. His father was from Germany, his mother from Norway. Thomas Stansfield grew up mesmerized by the stories his parents and grandparents told of their homelands. He learned English in school, but at night by the fire, it was the native languages of his parents and grandparents that was spoken. He excelled in school, and from an early age showed far less interest in farming than his brothers. He knew that someday he would return to Europe and explore his family's history. When he was given the chance at the age of 17 to attend South Dakota State University on a full academic scholarship, he didn't hesitate. College was not difficult for Stansfield. He majored in engineering and history and graduated at the top of his class. As the hot and hungry days of the 30s wound to a close, Stansfield recognized something far more ominous on the horizon. While most of his classmates and professors were turned inward, obsessed with America's problems, Stansfield kept an eye on the rise of fascism in Europe. His intellect told him that something foreboding was on the horizon. Franklin Delano Roosevelt also knew that something innately evil was occurring in Europe and the Far East. But there was nothing Roosevelt could do in the late 30s. The political will to intervene was not there. America had lost too many of her sons in the First World War, and its citizens weren't about to jump into another so quickly. It was Europe's problem. So Roosevelt, always the keen politician, bided his time and prepared for war as best he could. One of the things he did was to call on his close friend, Colonel Wild Bill Donovan. Donovan, a New York lawyer, had been awarded the Medal of Honor for leading the fighting 69th Infantry Regiment in France during World War I, and was one of Roosevelt's most keen and intense advisors. At the urging of Donovan, Roosevelt authorized the formation of the Office of Strategic Services. One of the first things Donovan did was to scour the armed forces and American universities for young men with the language skills that would aid the OSS in analyzing intercepted Axis power messages. Donovan also had something else in mind. He knew it wasn't a question of if America would enter the war, but a question of when. And when it did, he wanted to be ready to insert Americans behind German lines to organize resistance forces, gather intelligence, and, if called on, assassinate the enemy. Thomas Stansfield was one of Wild Bill Donovan's greatest recruits. The thin farm boy from the western steppes of South Dakota was fluent in German, Norwegian, and spoke decent French. During the war, Stansfield was parachuted into both Norway and later France. Still in his early 20s, he was the leader of what was to become one of the OSS's most effective Jedburgh teams. After the war, General Eisenhower would say that the invasion of France would not have been possible if it were not for the efforts of the courageous Jedburgh teams to organize French resistance, provide detailed intelligence reports, and ultimately disrupt and confuse German troop movement during the first days of the invasion. Thomas Stansfield had been one of those brave men who had operated behind enemy lines for months, preparing the way for the invasion force. In the pre-dawn hours of D-Day, Stansfield and his Jedburgh team demolished a major rail line and a phone junction box. After the war, Stansfield